back to that.
Hi, I'm Greg Gutfeld, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Marie Harf, Jesse Waters, and she had her family reunion in a shoebox. Dana Perino, The Five. Joe Biden's big anti-Semitism speech not stopping calls for the beheadings as Kappa Kappa Al-Qaeda gets in touch with their inner ISIS. Cops liberating George Washington from Occupy Hamas with D.C. police moving to dismantle GW's anti-Israel encampment. But not before the terror-loving dweebs got 2 weeks of cosplaying as the real thing, with literal calls to chop off the heads of school administrators. The freaks also beaming up pro-terror slogans on campus like, long live the student intifada. Intifada, Jesse. So naturally, the squad is finding solidarity with protesters who harass Jews.
They have been arrested and charged with disproportionate offenses. They have been wrongfully smeared as anti-Semitic.
Free, free!
Palestine!
Free, free!
Palestine!
Police pepper sprayed, brutalized, and arrested nonviolent student protesters at George Washington University at 3 a.m.
Shame!
This is an explicit attempt to repress students exercising their First Amendment rights.
All right, now due October 7th, you creeps. But at least there's one Democrat with a spine, John Fetterman, trying to smack some sense into the Hamas youth.
I'm not even sure what they're really, you know, protesting about. If you ask them, they're not really sure. They can't, you know, and now they're not talking about ceasefires anymore. And now they're talking about divesting and harming Israel on that. It's crazy. It's actually working against peace in Gaza. And Hamas is convinced that they've won the PR war. And they keep seeing all these kinds of protests across the nation on these campuses.
You know, Jesse, I feel like the adults are coming home. You get this dad energy, this dad brain energy in the air, as if, like, together everybody's just said, we've had enough. Take your toys, go to your room.
Yeah, getting a lot of dad energy from Fetterman.
Yeah.
Who I totally misjudged. He sounds based. I'm very bad at math. Maybe you could help me up. All right, this is a little game we'll play. It's called Simple Addition. How many hours do you think we've seen in riots from the left over the last month on campus? You know, talking about vandalism, resisting arrest, there's pepper spray.
300.
Let's just be a little more charitable. I'd say 12. 12 solid hours of actual left-wing violence, all right? Then let's add that to BLM. So that was 3 months. We had arson. We had 24 homicides. We had about $2 billion worth of property damage. And remember the 30-day siege in Portland. So I'm giving that maybe about 200 hours of left-wing political violence. And then just for fun, let's just throw in the Trump inauguration when they firebombed a limousine. Let's just say that's 3 hours. So according to my arithmetic, that would be 215 total hours of left-wing violence. Now, let's compare that to January 6th. I looked at the timeline.
It went from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
So that's 5 hours. Okay, I'm not downplaying January 6th. That's political violence. 215 hours, according to my calculations, a little bit more than 5 hours. So let's just look at the rhetoric, shall we? Yes, some people may have chanted, hang Mike Pence, and I condemn. But then I just heard on May 6th, a lot of chants of guillotine, 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 off with their heads. I've also heard things like go back to the oven. Mm-hmm. From the river to the sea, intifada. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, not infatada.
Right. Not enchilada. Infatada.
Intifada.
And
intifada.
Not only that, seeing people align themselves with Hamas. Not just anti-Israel. They are aligning themselves with a foreign terrorist organization. I don't remember seeing a lot of people with Russian hats on January 6th. I didn't see a lot of pro-Putin people out there. So, and you know what? Let's just not count the urban warfare in the inner city because those aren't Republicans shooting up the place. Let's just, to be fair, because I want to be fair to you. It's pretty clear that you cannot continue to say that right-wing violence is a major, major issue in the United States when the left is terrorizing the country almost every single day, every single year. And I've just had it because you put a target on everybody's back, and that has to stop. So I'm not downplaying January 6th, but you guys have downplayed your side. And it's time for you to admit that this is a dangerous, toxic, horrific movement that you have not done what you need to do, let's say. I rest my case.
Well, Marie, he's pointing this whole thing at you. You have a chance to respond.
I felt that. So here's the difference. January 6th was encouraged by Donald Trump.
When he said peaceful?
When he said, go down to the Capitol, I'm going to be with you.
Be peaceful.
All of his...
Why do you avoid that?
Because, Greg, that does not erase the months of rhetoric where he was encouraging groups to protest the results of this election.
You ignore
many of the words he said. And to bring this to today, though, the comparison... One of the reasons these protesters are out in the streets is Joe Biden is standing squarely by Israel. Joe Biden, John Fetterman, Tony Blinken, these are the people in the administration who are standing so squarely by Israel that a lot of progressives are angry at them. So the difference is Donald Trump encouraged political violence from his supporters on January 6th.
No, he didn't.
And Joe Biden is doing something these protesters are angry about because he's refusing to back away from Israel. And the one question he answered when he gave remarks last week was, have these protests changed your policy? And he said, no.
I don't think Trump ever encouraged people to get in other people's faces.
The Democrats did.
No, he didn't.
100%.
Show me that clip. All right, I got to go to Judge. We gave you your chance, Marie.
Judge. Look. You say that Joe Biden is refusing to change anything. Are you kidding? He's withholding the armaments. He is literally tying the hands of Israel behind their back. All of a sudden, Israel is being told how to fight a war that they didn't start, where 1,200 Israelis, mostly citizens, were massacred. And Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. And yes, we are on their side. And then Joe Biden comes out. The only time when you hear the truth is when he's not reading or mumbling on a teleprompter. And he's walking to Marine One and says, I condemn those who don't understand the Palestinians. No, Joe, when you read a teleprompter, you say things that are pro-Israel, but it's always too little, too late on virtually everything that he talks about. You know, Biden was so concerned about, what is it, white nationalism in the military. Remember that one? We're going to have an investigation. We're going to send the FBI. This white nationalism, we got to worry about that. And if you're black, you worry about that because those white nationals are after you. They have the investigation. There's no white nationalism in the military that is a problem for anyone. Is Joe Biden talking about let's find out what's going on with these kids? Who's funding them? Who's yelling guillotine, gallows? Who's yelling to hang people, to destroy a country, river to the sea? This is about the elimination of the Jews in this country. And Joe Biden is the weakest president we've had. And the whole idea that Rashida Tlaib comes out, she says Netanyahu should be arrested. Well, who the hell are you to say Netanyahu should be arrested? And they go on and on. And they talk about disproportionate smears for these kids who are being arrested. No, the disproportionate smears were January 6th, where people are in jail for 4 years when they simply trespassed.
All right, Dana, so many things I want to ask you, but I think you should just,
I feel like one of the things missing from this segment is just talking about what Biden is basically saying to Hamas, which is, hey, guess what? You guys now are in even a better negotiating position. And how do we know that? Well, right after the announcement made by Secretary Austin about the cut of the arms cut to Israel, Hamas released a statement, basically said Hamas is only willing to discuss the offer that they want and nothing else. And so Israel, once again, is being asked to shoulder all of this, trying to do the right thing by the Biden administration. I think they should have just done this whole operation faster, sooner, because here's the other thing. Rich Goldberg at Defense of Democracies, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, he said that this whole, I think, the story about Biden holds up munitions for Israel, it says he's talking about, like, dumb bombs, but actually there are guided specific munitions that are ready to go that aren't part of the new one that they're holding back as well. And that's according to FDD. I don't have a personal source at the Pentagon to tell me that, but Rich Goldberg, pretty good source on this stuff. So if you want targeted attacks against the terrorists, then you should give them those weapons so that they can do that and you can protect more people. The other thing is, 400 to 500 trucks a day of aid are going into Gaza. And still, the people of Gaza have no food. Because there's evidence that Hamas and UNRWA, some folks at UNRWA, the United Nations group that we pay for, are stealing the aid. And they're also then reselling it on the black market and making sure that Hamas is fed first.
Yeah.
So free Palestine from Hamas.
You know, I think I learned something about medicine that from John Fetterman that, you know, once you recover from a brain injury, you also recover from leftism. How strange.
Who knew?
I know. All right. Up next, the media is going soft on Stormy's testimony.
This program is brought to you by Inspire.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody fears a mistrial. The media desperately trying to downplay the salaciousness of Stormy Daniels' hush money testimony, as legal experts warn it threatens to completely derail Alvin Bragg's case against Trump. Daniels will be back on the stand tomorrow, and after offering up explicit, tawdry testimony, so raunchy that it provoked Trump's legal team to move for a mistrial and frustrated the judge, who disapproved of Daniels' behavior on the stand. The liberal press is now trying to act like it's no big deal.
It wasn't so salacious. I mean, she said the missionary position, and she said the word condom. So, I mean, that was basically it.
But she painted
a picture which maybe none of us want to know of.
It wasn't graphic sexually. I think what Mika's talking about, what I'm talking about, there were parts that you read and you go, oof, what's Melania thinking about it? Or, oof, what's Ivanka thinking? There were things where she got into his personal life.
Other anchors are trying to portray the porn star as Sister Stormy.
She entered wearing all black, as if on her way to a funeral. The loose-fitting, plain black clothing draping from her shoulders to her toes suggested the modesty of a nun. The makeup was minimal, the way she and the other moms in her neighborhood might look when shopping at the local grocery store.
And the Democrat lawfare lover's getting rocked by a double whammy. The porn star case, probably the only Trump trial that gets a verdict before the election. And a federal judge in Florida delaying classified documents indefinitely over a myriad of issues. And it looks like Loverboy's in for a rough ride. Because Furious Fanny's about to go nuclear. A Georgia court will take up Trump's appeal of the Willis disqualification ruling, possibly delaying the election case. Marie, I'll start with you.
Please, Jesse, thank you for giving me that chance.
Is this mistrial territory? Not that you care, because you just want something to happen before the election, but, oh my goodness, how raunchy was it?
I don't think this is mistrial territory. The judge has already said that he wishes things had gone differently yesterday. But I'm sure Judge Jeanine will disagree with me.
She already did.
I can feel it. But look, I keep saying, Democrats have said the whole time, we think voters should have all the information about the classified documents case, about the Georgia election interference cases. We think voters should have all that information and adjudicated before Election Day. That's important in our democracy. And I think it is frustrating to many people that this may be the only case, not because we're out to get Trump, but because these are serious allegations, serious indictments, and voters should have all the facts. And unfortunately, for a number of reasons, they probably won't.
Right.
Well, it doesn't take away that Donald Trump has been indicted with over 80 criminal charges that are quite serious.
Right. Well, voters, and Donald Trump is a voter, also deserves due process. That's important in a democracy or a republic. Mm. I bet you didn't even know we were a republic.
Mm. Oh, my gosh, Jeff. We could both take the U.S. citizenship test and see who did better.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I know it because I've memorized it for Man on the Streets. Judge Jeanine, she says no mistrial. What do you say?
First of all,
she just threw her pen.
I just threw my pen. Everybody gets it. They all know me out there. Here's the thing.
Mershon is blaming everything on the defense attorneys. He is saying, quote, he criticized the defense attorneys for not objecting enough. Now, why would he do that? Because he's trying to preserve himself for the appeal, trying to signal to the appellate judges it was their fault. But here's the problem. What's amazing is that the defense team objected to nearly every question. They objected to the testimony at large. They objected to the fact that it was irrelevant, that it was not probative, and that it was purely prejudicial a decade before the alleged crime that occurred on 2017. Now, when he comes out and he says, I'm surprised that there weren't more objections, and I think there were things better left unsaid. Judge, if you had any idea what you were doing, you would have stopped it. You would have called them up to the bench. You would have issued a curative limiting instruction right then and there, and you would have agreed to a mistrial, because I will bet my house, Jesse, this case is going to be reversed on appeal, starting with the judge not recusing himself. But this stuff, and it wasn't just missionary position. There was a lot more, and I'm not going to get into it. But there's a lot more, and I'll bet Greg gets into it, okay, that this jury should never have heard. They should never have been subjected to it. But remember, there are two juries here. There's a courtroom jury, and there is America, the political jury. This prosecutor is not playing to the courtroom. The prosecutor is playing to the American jury.
Dana P.
I would agree with that. And the thing is that the burning question at issue is, was it a legal expense or not? And they want to put him away for 136 years. It's very serious for President Trump and his team, his family, the cost of it, his supporters. But also sometimes I look at it and go, is this real life? Are we actually having to talk about this? Because if I were on the jury, I would say, I cannot believe, one, that I had to listen to Stormy Daniels. If it's irrelevant. And two, I don't like, why am I missing work? Why am I having to sit here? If you don't even know what the crime is, Mr. Prosecutor, I would be furious. I'd want to go home.
Yep. And Trump can't campaign 4 days a week because of it, Greg.
I love that this event with Stormy happened almost two decades ago. Yet we're having this trial just months before the election. But no, we're not out to get Trump. It just so happens it falls during this time. And no. The number of charges is irrelevant if they're all the same charges. 80 times zero is still zero. By the way, I always thought the missionary position is when you pray for sex. All right. Here's some things. I'm going to get into the salacious details. I apologize in advance. I love how Joe Scarborough says he was worrying about what Melania hears. Yeah, right. Save it, you phony. Stormy claims that she blacked out in this tryst with Trump, but she wasn't on any drugs or alcohol. You blacked out without drugs or alcohol. Some of us call that sleeping. Now, it could be that you really blacked out after having sex with Trump, which is a compliment. Truly, he screwed the brains out of her.
Oh, God.
That makes him a sex god. I love that the big criticism, the juicy tidbit, Trump has separate bedrooms. I have an unspeakable truth for you. If you are lucky enough to have a guest bedroom, that often becomes a second bedroom. It's called the snoratorium. Not the testament to a bad marriage. It's the fact that there are sleep disturbances. When you're married to somebody for a while and somebody snores, they go to the other room. This, of course, presupposes that Trump sleeps, and we know he only sleeps in court. What I love about the Dems, they asked for a circus, and they got one. The problem is they're the ones getting beclowned. You know, everything that I've heard makes Trump more sympathetic, more likable. And what do you have a context at all for a tryst between a porn star and a billionaire? Do you have anything to compare this against? Stormy called it an imbalance of power. Well, duh. That's why you met him. If he were a mechanic, if he was a high school teacher, you wouldn't have run up and slept with him. It was all about the power. It was all about the imbalance. That's how this transaction works when you're a porn star.
Sex god.
Sex god.
All right. We have an alert.
Good transition.
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on the House floor right now. She's triggering a vote to oust Speaker Mike Johnson.
Her resolution was met with boos on the floor. It's unclear when the vote will happen, and we will keep you updated on that. But coming up next, uh-oh, Joe Biden's squad of liberal late-night jesters might be bailing on him.
Hi, I'm Greg. I live in...
Joe Biden's victory coalition continues to hit some serious speed bumps. He's losing support from blacks, Hispanics, and now liberal late night seems to be bailing. John Stewart is saying out loud what a lot of liberals are privately thinking, quote, I know you don't want to say it because Trump is so scary, but he's so effing old. When you watch him on television, you're nervous, aren't you? I'm not saying that Biden can't contribute to society. He just shouldn't be president. And actor John Leguizamo is in a panic over Donald Trump's surging support from Latinos.
They take us for granted, man. Republicans are working hard. They were coming at us in WhatsApp with ads. Mm-hmm. They were coming at us in our Spanish language radio stations with all kinds of trigger words like socialism that triggers Cubans, Venezuelans, and Colombians. They talked our talk.
All right, Jesse. Think about the fact that they're complaining about the Spanish language radio, WhatsApp, and everything else. They could do the same thing, but... they could, and maybe that's why he says the Democrats take us for granted. They're not working.
Ladies, you know how it is. When your boyfriend
ladies
takes you for granted, you start looking for another boyfriend. And that's what's going on with Hispanics. Joe Biden doesn't call. He doesn't text. He doesn't take you out to dinner. He doesn't even notice when you get your hair done. You know who notices? Trump. He pays attention. And that's what's happening right now. So right now, he speaks for a lot of Hispanics and Stewart speaks for a lot of liberals. Stewart's basically saying he's really old. It's nerve-wracking watching him walk. And that's kind of funny. And it's okay to laugh at your guy. I mean, he wears special shoes. He eats ice cream. He has a note card that says his name on it. It's fine. You have to break the seal and laugh at the guy. He's just a politician. He works for you. Yep. He's nothing special. It's fine. You get a new one in there next time. But, I mean, we laugh at our guy constantly. He's hilarious. I asked him one time, I said, Mr. President, what do you do for exercise? You know what he said? I talk a lot. What? But that's what makes him funny. And Joe has his own little things that we laugh at. It's okay.
You know, Marie, you remember Clinton, Trump, late night hosts went after them and we all loved it. What changed?
Well, first, I think that a lot of late night hosts feel like this is a different election. And I know everyone's going to yell at me when I say this, but that the, you know, if Mitt Romney had won in 2012, I don't think people felt like there would have been a threat to our democratic values in our country.
He actually did, but...
And I think they feel that now, that this election is different, that the threat of Donald Trump returning to the presidency is different. And I think that's why you see a lot of this. John Stewart, I think John Stewart's too old. I think John Stewart
Is he past his prime?
I think that John Stewart, he was, you know, there's a lot of people who feel like, particularly his old show and the new one too, it's this like holier than thou, very performative, progressive, and not sort of taking a step back and saying, okay, this is the state of the country. Yes, Biden is older than people would like. But let's keep our eye on the prize here. This isn't about John Stewart, and it's not about trying to get viewers. He should have stuck to helping the 9/11 responders and veterans get health care.
Okay, so you're a humorist.
Am I?
Yes, and the truth is that there is so much to use, the stumbling, the mumbling.
But it's a threat to democracy, and nothing's funny about that.
I'm sorry. It doesn't matter who is the Republican. There, it's always going to be the end of the world, right? If it wasn't for Trump, it was going to be climate change, right? That was the end of the world for a while until Trump came along.
It still is,
there are a couple of problems, not really. There's a couple of problems with what Stewart's saying. A, everybody's already saying, and he's a little late, this is about as edgy as a soggy beanbag. And two, he's leaving Biden off the hook on policies and principles. Biden's actual substance is actually worse than his age. In my opinion, and I think it's an opinion of a lot of very smart, sensitive people out there. He also, Stewart does something that I thought was really lazy. He mocks the anti-woke movement, the same movement that shared the risk fighting cancel culture while he was sleeping it off in his Upper East or West Side panic room. He's like a guy that emerges from a bunker after his comrades have fought the battle and won. And he looks out and he goes, couldn't have been that hard. Yeah, because we did the work while you were gone. How can you say that the woke had no policing on thought, word, or deed? People had to change how they spoke at work. Anyone with an HR department knows this. Anyone whose company implemented DEI understands how that affected the way they think and the way they do their job. College campuses, obviously. High schools with their teachers. College athletes having to put up with, you know what? Rhymes with trans. Where the F have you been, John? I mean, have you been, you've been sunning yourself with Howard Stern and Jimmy Kimmel? They're all plagued by this weird kind of, they're in that little bubble and they're struggling to find answers and they can't get out.
Dana, why is Joe Biden competitive at all? I mean, Trump was leading him on every issue. 35% of Americans approve of his job performance and 81% think he's too old for another term.
Well, I think that if you're a Republican, you think, how in the world could anybody believe what the Democrats believe? And the Democrats look like Michelle Kaczynski that we talked about yesterday. Look at Republicans and be like, how can you actually believe that? Because we just have different ways of looking at things. And the truth is, we are pretty much a 50-50 nation, although there are slightly more Democrats than Republicans. There are more independents than all of them put together. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that Joe Biden is losing Hispanic voters and Trump is competitive with them is that for a long time, yes, the actor is correct. The Democrats take them for granted. You hear that from them. But also, the Hispanics are people and voters, and they are workers. They're moms and dads. They're teachers. They're employers. They're managers. They're building businesses. And they're mad about inflation, and they're worried about the border, and they're upset about crime, and they're looking at the housing costs and shelter costs. And President Biden put all the chips on electric vehicles and told them to like it. And they're not going to put up with it. And so when you see the RNC having a little bit more of a concentrated effort, it's not just the ads. It's that the ads are meeting the voters where they are, which is mad at Joe Biden. Then I, on the humor thing, the late night, I think this all started in 2009, January 21st, 2009, when Barack Obama won. Remember, they never made fun of him.
Yes.
We've done this show for 14 years. Saturday Night Live, they never actually had somebody that would actually make fun of him. They would use him. In fact, Barack Obama knew this so much so that he made fun of the press and the comedians for not making fun of him because he knew that they wouldn't do it.
Mm. All right. Up next.
Right?
Yes.
Murray is like, that's true.
Know. All right. Up next, Gavin Newsom just embarrassed himself, and it's all thanks to Joe Biden.
Businesses go further with it. You got that heart and made it go, baby.
Not so slick after all. California Governor Gavin Newsom is getting roasted online after posting a misleading video bragging about how the Golden State is raking in record-breaking tourism. Watch this.
So I'm up here on the iconic Golden Gate Bridge. Over $150 billion of tourism spend, unprecedented in our state's history. If you haven't had the chance to see the magnificence, the beauty of our great state, it's time to visit California.
So here's what Governor Gavin Newsom conveniently forgets to mention is that when those numbers are adjusted for inflation, tourism spending in California is actually down 14% from its peak in 2019. And from the top of the Golden Gate Bridge, Newsom probably couldn't see what his state really has to offer tourists, like homelessness and rampant drug use in the streets and the shocking video of Los Angeles bus driver getting attacked over a fare dispute.
Get the f*** off!
That is pretty awful. Greg, let me go to you, resident California.
Yeah.
From before.
California is like a supermodel. It's full of natural beauty. So you overlook the drug habit, the shoplifting. The cost of living with this supermodel is ridiculous. In a way, red states are like, they're not like supermodels. They're just really good looking chicks with a good job, a good sense of humor, and know how to have a good time and don't mess up the, you know, the living room. Gavin takes credit for California, but he takes credit for the things that were already there well before Gavin was even born. The Golden Gate Bridge. These are things that he did not bring to the state. You know, those things are there in spite, not because of Gavin. God knows what would happen to the natural beauty of California if these ideas of lawlessness, homelessness, and drug addiction spread. I mean, it's a big state, California, but when you often go there to and from the airports or to the downtowns or the boardwalks or the hotel districts, you see what the tourist sees first. You know, but it's good if you fly private because then, you know, Napa's still nice, Carmel, Marin County. Go to Coachella, get backstage. No one will bother you and no one's shooting up or pooping in front of the French Laundry. Ugh. So you're good there. For the rest of us, the Golden Gate's like a golden shower.
And Jesse, you said you weren't very good at math, but in California, the spending on tourism is not the only thing that's gone down, but people are basically having to spend so much more because of the new minimum wage law that they're figuring out a way to actually spend less.
Well, California is still number one tourist destination of all 50 states, still the number one economy of all 50 states. They have the best terrain, towns, women, food, weather. But I'm with Greg. It's like a supermodel that has started letting herself go. You see the bunions on the feet. Maybe she stopped flossing, stopped exercising.
She's on meth, is what you're saying.
She looks good. Little haggard. What she needs is a little self-care.
Jesse.
And the politicians like Newsom need to give California, who's been blessed, let's be honest by God, a little self-care. Diet and exercise, a little self-discipline. And then California can get back on the cover of the swimsuit edition where she belongs.
Judge, the other thing that is we've been talking about is that there were 900,000 signatures to get Prop 47 repealed, and they want to put that on the ballot. And Gavin Newsom is actually fighting very hard against that. Yeah. It could actually help him.
Yeah, it could help him. But you see, Gavin Newsom is all about, you know, promoting himself and not dealing with the real issue of crime. You know, he'll say crime is going down when the truth is, you know, when I was looking at those videos, I couldn't help but think about the Tenderloin District where kids on their way to school have to have a security guard or someone take them, you know, to school because it's so traumatizing to see people shooting up and doing everything they do there. And, you know, he can talk about how great California is, but you've got 7-Eleven, Target, all these companies have moved out, Subway's, Denny's, Macy's, Taco Bell, In-N-Out, Starbucks, Whole Foods, Nordstrom's. They love California too, but it's just a mess. People can't survive there.
Yeah, Marie, he didn't go and do this event in Oakland.
That's true. But look, voters in California don't think that the Republican Party there has any solutions to these problems either. These are long, you know, decades long problems when we're looking at the homeless crisis, the crime. You know, Gavin Newsom is in many ways, I think, it's hard to call him a rising star because he's the governor of California, but I think he is a potential national Democratic voice. But navigating some of these tricky issues in California is going to be a key part of that. Look, some of the tourism numbers are good, actually. They created 64,000 new jobs in 2023. 98% of the pre-pandemic tourist jobs are back. Those are good numbers for California. There's not all bad news there. But if Newsom's going to make that jump to be a national Democratic leader, which I think he can, we've seen him perform against people like Ron DeSantis, right? He has to address some of these issues in California that are just real lightning rods. But there is some good news there.
You don't think DeSantis mopped the floor with him?
No, I don't.
Wow, Marie.
This is the divide in America.
This is it right here. We're seeing it. All right, Fox News alert. Yes, we brought this to you earlier. The House is now voting to kill Marjorie Taylor Greene's resolution to remove Speaker Mike Johnson. Greene's effort is expected to fail. This is a little bit performative. Apparently, when she introduced it, there were a lot of boos on the floor, and I don't mean alcohol. I mean boos, as in thumbs down. The Fastest is up next.
Americans turn to RV.
Welcome back. Time for The Fastest. First up. Would you put pickles in your Dr. Pepper? A Mississippi mom is racking up millions of views after encouraging people to try this very unusual combination.
Do y'all like pickles? Do y'all like Dr. Pepper? Yes, ma'am. I need to get a large Dr. Pepper with pickles. So this right here is a pickle Dr. Pepper. And don't knock it till you try it.
Don't knock it until you try it. Well, we are going to do just that and try it right now. Jesse, this is not your first Dr. Pepper with pickles experience, though.
I had one yesterday.
And?
And I'm not going to drink it out of a straw. Wow. Nice try, producers. That's for women.
We have a lot of thoughts on women tonight.
It's delicious. No, men don't drink from straws. Greg knows the rules.
Really?
Yes, judge. Really?
Are they written
and
somewhere?
It, and it is. Don't knock it till you try it. So, America, try it. It is delicious.
Anyone else think it's delicious?
I think it's fine. Like, it's fine.
Can you taste the pickle?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Well, you can smell it.
I can taste it.
And I refuse to do anything that comes from TikTok.
What?
This is replacing. Remember when your mom used to say, if your friend said jump off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge? Now it's like, if you see it on TikTok, are you going to do it? Is this how we ended up with pineapple on our pizza? You know what? I mean, what's that? Cool Whip on a prime rib?
Greg,
this is stupid.
Let's do Tide Pods later. You're going to love it.
Yeah. But would anyone order this at a restaurant?
No.
With my children.
For you or for them?
Both.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
But what would Emma say?
I don't think she'd like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
She told me that Jesse Jr.'s favorite drink is water.
Well, he's a big water guy. And water, I don't know if everybody knows this, but it really improves your skin.
Oh, thank you, Jesse.
Thank you for telling us. Do you want to apologize to anybody?
Oh, yeah, I do would like to make an apology. Last segment, I said something that I didn't mean.
You meant it.
There was a lack of
it.
Understanding.
You meant it.
Women with bunions, it's not because they have let themselves go or poor hygiene, perhaps. It's a genetic thing. Yeah. So for all of you bunion-having women, I'm sorry you were born that way.
No, they're not born that way. It happens when they get older. They can't help it.
Oh, either way, they can't help it.
But you meant it when you said it. Admit that.
I thought it was just a gross thing that developed in your foot from not showering.
Your foot in your mouth.
You know, men don't get gross at any age.
Okay, all right, whatever. It's like athlete's foot for women.
Oh, it is not.
Fine. I don't even know what a bunion is.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what it is. Is it a corn?
No.
You're just digging a bigger hole now.
Yeah. You know what? Just say you're sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Drink your Dr. Pepper.
And my Dr. Pepper.
On that note, one more thing is up next.
You know, I spend a lot of time thinking of...
Fox News alert, the House overwhelmingly voting to kill Marjorie Taylor Greene's attempt to yank Johnson out. It's time now for one more thing. I get to go first. Tonight, we got a great show, but we always have a great show. Ben Shapiro, Jim Florentine, Cat Tim Tyrus, watch that. Hey, let's do this. Greg's camping tips. You know, I go camping a lot, and the problem is the people who camp next to you, sometimes you kind of get in each other's space, like what happened here. Got kind of ugly. They were fighting over a spot that they had planned to have for a little later at the Brisbane River in Australia, but they just wouldn't stop, would they? You know what's interesting about them? Afterwards, they kissed and made up, and now they run in bed at breakfast in Sydney, Australia. Judge?
There.
Okay, so check out this hilarious video where a brother thinks his sister's pregnancy announcement onesie is a gift for his cat. Take a look.
Oh my God, let's go! Tordy!
Zach, it's not for the cat.
What's it for? No!
Oh, that's cute.
It is cute. Dana, what do you have that's
cute? I have Dana's Fox News alerts without the little bells and whistles, because this public service reminder comes after an Arizona Humane Society resident rescued a pair of kittens. Mm. Okay, she takes them to the Humane Society. She's like, they really need to
find a new home, and turns out they were little gray foxes.
Oh.
Yes.
That is
and so
fox
they are going to be rehabilitated and released back into the wild when they are old enough.
That was pretty foxy.
Yeah.
All right, Jesse, what do you got?
There's a new trust test with husbands and wives. Can the wife from behind slap the can off the husband's head with a belt?
Oh, no.
Oh, I love this. Now,
you do?
Yes.
No. Oh, God.
Can you imagine if their genders were reversed?
This is
your
TikTok.
That's right.
This is the TikTok. This is the TikTok point.
He didn't know whether to put a pair of glasses on.
Greg, try that tonight.
I love that.
All right, tonight.
Okay, let's judge. Let's have the wife do that. Sit there and let the guy do it.
Yes, I'll do it. I put on a pair of glasses.
Then she'll prosecute.
How about you do it,
Murray?
Yeah. Okay, this is a different husband and wife story. A woman planned a one of a kind birthday party for her Costco loving husband. She arranged for his family and friends to be at the store for multiple run-ins during their shopping trip. He couldn't wrap his head around the coincidence even when he saw his appearing to push a cart. Eventually, it was revealed to be a surprise 27th birthday party with a cake clown and balloon animals in the Costco food court.
That is pretty clever.
Jesse, what's on your show tonight?
And I don't get any ideas.
He dressed, he dressed up for it, too.
All right, that's it for us. Wonderful.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.